right, welcome everybody. It is December 5th, 2022. I am back once again. Don Tony here, and is your WWE post-Raw show. Pardon the change a little bit, the tweaking of the video quality. I actually got a new lens yesterday, and apparently every episode that I have saved for the day of the week, I have to change the settings each time. So I didn't have a chance to update some of the settings tonight. So the video might be off a little bit, but I don't think so. We have a few things to talk about. Raw, not a bad show tonight. The seed planting that we talked about last week of Alexa Bliss versus Bianca Belair. It continues. Alexa Bliss wins the three-way to take on Bayley next week for the right to be number one contender to Bianca Belair's championship. Seed planting continues. Rhea Ripley going after Asuka. You know, even though, you know, Rhea Ripley, you know, she didn't win, not because of Asuka, but because of Bayley. But that's to try to divert the attention. Don't be surprised if next week we see Becky Lynch cause Bayley the chance to face Bianca Belair, and then things get very interesting. No Uncle Howdy, no mind melts tonight. I don't know if anybody took notice of that. But, you know, just to try to get a little buzz online like last week, probably didn't even see this. Tonight, Candice LeRae is being interviewed. Next week, she's going to take on Io Sky. Anybody that has been following NXT for several years now, that is a matchup that we have had the privilege to enjoy a few times in NXT. So that match next week is going to be a banger, provided that WWE allows them to go as long as they need to go. But, you know, before Candice LeRae, interrupted by her husband, and Dexter Lumis bringing back the thumb. Oh, people want Indy Hartwell so bad. They want her so bad. I don't see it happening. You know, I'm going to throw you a curveball, everyone. I'm going to throw you a curveball. I know everyone out there is going to say, DT, you are goddamn nuts. But you know me, I like to think outside the box. For the second week in a row, and I know a majority of you did not notice it again, but for a second week in a row, before Candice LeRae was interrupted by her husband and Dexter Lumis, look at the corner, the left-hand side, who was lurking again? Nikki Cross. Nikki Cross stalking Candice LeRae a little bit? I don't know. So here's my curveball. If we're going to see Dexter Lumis have a significant other on WWE television once again, what if we get the pairing of Nikki Cross wanting to get set up with Dexter Lumis? What do you think, guys? Dexter Lumis and Nikki Cross double dating with Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae. Hey, everybody thinks because, well, not everybody, but you get this weird group of people online that think because Triple H took over that everything was going to be like an extension of NXT Black and Gold. That is not the formula for success. You know, people will tell you that Black and Gold was one of the greatest things that Vince McMahon never let to develop, but yet for some reason, about 1.5 million of those people out there never took the time to bother to watch NXT. Shit, tonight. You know, Solo Sikoa continuing the tribute to Omaga with the Samoan Spike. And look, I will always say you're not required to watch NXT. You're required to watch whatever you want to watch. But people don't even look. They don't even research. First of all, Umaga is Solo Sikoa's uncle. God rest his soul. Every time Solo Sikoa points to the sky, that is a tribute to Umaga. Yesterday was the anniversary of Umaga's passing. And for those that may not have watched NXT for a long period of time, Solo Sikoa has paid tribute to Umaga before. That is prior to an NXT match that I know quite a few of you do remember. So, you know, so a lot of people think that the tributes to Umaga by Solo Sikoa is something new. In fact, I think a couple of times on this show we talked about Solo paying a little tribute to Umaga. But I'm going to be a dick for a minute. let's, well, you know, we'll wait a little bit. I'm going to show you something from Raw tonight that made me flashback 20 years. 20 years ago, WWE programming. This is probably going to upset a few people out there because I know we're not supposed to go there, but we will go there in a little bit. Listen, before we get into anything, I wanted to throw this out there. Keep Barry Windham in your thoughts and your prayers. You know, a lot of people still are not aware in 2011, I think it's around 2011, it's either 10 or 11, he suffered a massive heart attack. And I think the reason why Barry Windham wasn't on a lot of people's radar at the time, it was because he was 10 years younger. You know, Barry Windham is not that old. You know, it might surprise some people, you know, how old is he, 60? He's not that old. So, you know, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, Barry Windham, you know, a little bit more in shape. You know, you might remember a couple of months ago when people were saying that Barry Windham was going to be Uncle Howdy. And I didn't mean it in a disrespectful way. Absolutely not. But, you know, one of the first things that I said to all of you out there was, have you seen Barry Windham in the last couple of years? I mean, we would love Barry Windham to be a character involved in this Bray Wyatt storyline. But as I said, what, 6 weeks ago, I don't think physically he would be able to handle it. You know, you can't look at pictures from 15, 20, 25 years ago and keep that memory in your mind and think that's what you're going to see on TV. So for those that aren't aware, Friday, Barry Windham was in an Atlanta airport and started getting chest pains. And they immediately, you know, realized that he was having another heart attack. And he was rushed to ICU, and some quick thinking people in the airport probably saved this guy's life. You know, he hasn't been in the greatest of health. He suffered a heart attack about 12 years ago. He is currently in ICU, and I know that the family, the Rotunda family, has already set up a GoFundMe for Barry Windham and his expenses because, you know, a lot of people think, and I'm not trying to be political here, but a lot of people think back to what, 2008 with Obamacare when it was created. And a lot of people think that the idea is that, you know, anyone could just go out there and grab health care. You know, that's what this was, to give everybody the opportunity to buy health care. And, you know, yeah, that is right in some points. But what a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, even people on Medicare, for good coverage in New York, you pay $700 a month. You pay $150 for basic Medicare. Then you got prescription coverage. And then you got to get a supplement plan that takes care of your deductibles and your co-pays. And if you get a shit plan, you may have a $10,000 deductible, a $20,000 deductible. You know, so it's not as easy as you think. And Barry Windham doesn't have any medical insurance. You know, I think to my dad, a lot of you know, early last year, my dad had triple bypassed. You know, we almost lost my father. 5 years ago, my mom had major heart surgery. She's got the valve of a pig, oink, oink, inside her right now. You know, she is not in great health, but they saved her life and saved my dad's life. Believe me when I tell you, their hospital bills were over $100,000. Luckily, they had some pretty good health care, and it covered just about all of it. Not all of it, but most of it. So if anyone out there wants to contribute something towards Barry Windham's expenses, I created a tiny URL link to make it easier for you to find it. If you go to tinyurl.com/helpBarry, Help Barry. It'll bring you right to the GoFundMe page. For anybody that's going to ask, yes, you will see my name on there. I'm not going to post any links or public and say I donate. It's there. And, you know, if anyone could help, by all means do so. So prayers are with Barry Windham. You know, you start getting at the age that he is, and the health that he was in before, plus all the excess weight that he put on, you know, when the family said that he is in extremely serious condition, when you use the words extremely serious and you use the words massive, now I didn't put the word massive in the show synopsis tonight, because I think a lot of people are using it like an attention getter word. You know, the family says that that's one thing, but, you know, people are writing in capital letters the word massive. It's like, you know, I don't know. For me, it looks like a little bit of a dick move. Like, hey, look at my article. I wrote it in capital letters. Spot me. You know, so if you could help or at least let other people know as far as what's going on. And believe me, that helps a little bit also. We have a death to report in the world of pro wrestling and in the world of Married with Children. Yes, only one appearance of Married with Children, but a very memorable one. And I'm going to share something with you right now that no one else picked up on. It's not that they don't care. It's just people just too lazy to do this, the research. But I want to share something with you that I think is really, really, you know, it'll really get to you. You remember Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, you know, back in the 80s? Now, think of my age. I'm in my early 50s right now. So back when GLOW came around, you know, with the exception of Big Bad Mama and a few others, you know, who was the Hawaiian chick? You know, they didn't really get me all that much. But you get Hollywood, Hollywood, Babe the Farmer's Daughter. You know, with all due respect, when you had Babe the Farmer's Daughter and, you know, her partner, I mean, to me, you know, I go back to the 80s with porn, with Nina Hartley and some of these others, and you're looking at, you know, this tag team, and you're like, my God, this is like, these are two perfect examples of women in the 80s that went down the highway in California, and they could either go left and enter the adult entertainment world or go right and enter the carny world of professional wrestling and just be a fun-loving actress, you know, without having to pull their pants down, so to speak. And that's what they did. And, you know, Ursula Hayden, who we knew as Babe the Farmer's Daughter in GLOW, she died over the weekend at the age of 56 due to cancer. 56 years old due to cancer. I mean, you know, that scares me when I think about it. You know, she was cute back then. You know, I remember her in GLOW, absolutely. It was corny, but, you know, definitely a character that I, especially with the reinvention of GLOW, I'm kind of blown away that there's no fucking tributes going on, especially with the recreation of GLOW. But, you know, let me ask this. I give a shout out to the first person who identifies her partner. Who remembers this scene from Married with Children? Al, come join us. Here's Daddy. Who remembers Married with Children with Pamela Anderson? And I don't remember her real name. She died. What, anybody remember her real name? I know it's Sally, the farmer's daughter, but what was her actual name? She died like 2 years ago, and we paid tribute to her as well. And you know what is so sad about it? You know what's so sad about it? By the way, she's the girl on the right, Sally the Farmer's Daughter. She's the girl on the right. She was on that infamous scene where Al, you know, was dreaming and didn't like Peggy like ring the bell. No, I think his daughter rang the bell and he woke up. Becky Allen, is that her name? Why does that not sound right? That does not, maybe Becky Allen? That doesn't sound right. Maybe someone could double check that. But anyway, check this out. We're getting a name confirmation here. But look back at this team. That is Sally and Babe the Farmer's Daughter. Becky Mullen. Yes, thank you very much, AS7607. I knew it didn't sound right. Becky Mullen. That was her name. Here is the eerie thing about this. We just lost Babe the Farmer's Daughter over the weekend due to cancer, age 56. Do you know how old Sally the Farmer's Daughter was when she died? 56. How did she die? Cancer. Both members died at 56 years old. Both members died due to cancer. It's really, really sad, man. 56 years old is way too young. So thoughts and prayers are with their families. You know, just wanted to report it. Sad, but, you know, Barry Windham's still with us. That's the most important thing. Let's hope that he could pull through this. You know, strong guy. I mean, look at him. You know, let's see if he pulls through. So, all right. All right. Let's, oh, you know what? I'll share one more thing with you. And then we'll talk a little bit about Raw. You know, as we do now, we don't get into every little detail. I talk about the things I liked. The poker shit tonight gave me Saturday night's main event vibes the whole night. Loved it, loved it, loved it. I don't mind corny shit once in a while. Everything about it made me feel like 1980 Saturday night's main event. I thought it was so well done. Wasn't all, Baron Corbin a little bit dumb with the acting, but still, it was good enough that, shit, if that was put on Saturday night, could you imagine if they did a segment like that back in the 80s, you know, and like Piper was cheating and, it, you know, that we'd be talking about it still off and on to the, these days today. And JBL has been great. But before we get into Raw, you know, we talked about this a couple of weeks before Survivor Series. Remember a few people were clickbaiting that Sasha Banks was in Boston and trying to allude on their podcast that Sasha Banks could be at Survivor Series. Now, if you remember my mathematician title to one of the shows we did a long time ago, once two people were determined to be in that Survivor Series match, we realized that Sasha and Naomi was an impossibility. We realized that. It is what it is. But at that time, people were clickbaiting that Sasha Banks was in Boston. And as we talked about at that time, she was filming a movie. Well, that production for the movie completed last week. And over the weekend, Sasha Banks was with the producers, Yale Productions. And I can't remember, I know one of them is called Jordan Yale Levine. And it's funny, here's a little tidbit, everyone. The reason why Jordan Levine always puts his word Yale in there is because if you do a Google search for him and you don't put the word Yale, you will get a lot of search results of porn. There is a porn star by the name of Jordan Levine. Believe me when I tell you, I remember, this is how old I am, everyone. I remember the days when we used to Google Shawn Michaels or we do an Alta Vista search, whatever it was back in the mid-90s, and we would get that black porn star, Shawn Michaels. It would be kind of awkward to be looking up Shawn Michaels to get Raw results, and the next thing you know, you're like looking on your page and there's like a little thumbnail. You click on it and you see some guy going, oh. I'm like, that's not Shawn Michaels. So, yeah, so you got to put Yale, especially if you're at work and you want to look him up. But, you know, this gentleman posted, he gave us a preview of Sasha Banks in this movie. Guys, gals, for those that my audio-only family out there, I'm telling you this right now, no need to go to the video portion of this show to spot this out. You can do it if you want. 20 minutes is the timestamp. But for everyone else, if you want to see about 3 seconds of Sasha Banks in this video, this director posted this for everyone to enjoy. Look closely. This is what they wanted to show us as far as Sasha Banks. Honestly, this kind of looks like my girlfriend when she comes home from work and I'm here a little bit earlier and she's like, what's for dinner? I'm like, honey, I already ate. This is pretty much what you would see in my house. There you go. Pick up the fucking knife. Yeah, that's it. Where's my goddamn dinner, you motherfucker? So yeah, that's Sasha Banks. So let's look at it one more time. There she goes. Look, she grabs the knife. Oh, look, she, oh, you know, hey, how you doing? Hey, you don't want to mess with Sasha Banks. You go, girl. So, yeah. So, again, you know, not everybody that saw the video are like, oh, that's the, it's nothing. It's nothing. But filming is complete. Now, for everyone out there, I haven't wasted the time to look to get the name of the movie and what she's doing and this or that. I mean, based on this 3.1 seconds, you know, this psycho bitch picks up a knife. You know what I think? You know what I, and I'm being serious for a minute. By looking at that clip, you know what this says to me? That it says to me that some guy tried to attack her, or maybe this gang of people tried to attack her, and then she's going out for revenge, and she shows up. What is that, like a courtroom? Is that a courtroom? That's not a poker table. What is that? Like, what kind of room is that? That ain't somebody's house. It looks like lockers in the background. What is that? That's not even like a courtroom. So, anyway, it looks like Sasha Banks is getting revenge on people. So, to be continued. To be continued. Ricky Vasquez says it's an interrogation. Yeah, maybe in New York from the 1970s. You know, where's the fucking Babanya? Where's the Babanya? All right, I'm not going to keep playing that because I know people are getting a little pissed off. People would rather see Al Bundy. Let's be honest. Al, it's not as much fun unless you come join us. Well, here's Daddy. I can't do Al Bundy. Sorry, I can't. All right. Stay. Yeah, you know what? Good segue. Good segue. Please do not get mad at me. It's just me reminiscing 20 years ago. And you could have this in your mind when you pull this up. Now, at War Games, we had Becky Lynch, Rhea Ripley go at it a little bit. I think a lot of people forgot that Becky and Rhea went out a little bit. But today, after Becky Lynch had a little bit of a promo back and forth with Bayley, before we had the two three-way dances, triple threats to determine who's going to fight for the number one contendership next week, as Becky is walking to the back, Rhea Ripley comes out for her match. And we get a little bit of a stare down. Now, let's go back a little bit further. Opening up Raw tonight, we had Matt Riddle and Kevin Owens lose to the Usos. Now, this was advertised tonight on Raw. We would have Asuka versus Bayley versus Rhea Ripley to determine one of the participants for next week. And then we have Becky Lynch, Nikki Cross, and Alexa Bliss. And the winner of each match will face off next week. And as we discussed the last 7 days, they are planting the seeds for Alexa Bliss versus Bianca Belair, and it looks like we're still on tap for that. Another match that we were supposed to get tonight was the Usos defending the WWE Universal Tag Team Championships against Elias and Matt Riddle. Before Raw began, they showed footage of Elias being beat down backstage by the Usos, Sami Zayn, and Solo Sikoa. Solo Sikoa with the final blows, and, you know, as a result, Elias cannot compete tonight. So, we open up Raw, and the Usos are in the ring with Sami and Solo Sikoa. And they're cutting a promo. Sami gets on the mic, and Sami starts talking about things that are Usy. You know, he says, like, you know, he actually said that he is an Usologist. So he says, Solo Sikoa taking out Elias, that makes him Usy. The Usos being the longest reigning WWE Undisputed Tag Team Champions of all time, that is Usy. Matt Riddle thinking that he could ever beat the Bloodline, that is not Usy. So Matt Riddle's on the stage, and Matt Riddle says, you know, there is going to be a tag match tonight, despite what the Usos are telling everyone. And he says that his partner, he doesn't really get along with, but one thing they have in common, neither one of them like the Bloodline. Some people thought Kevin Owens, some people thought Seth Rollins. Well, it was Kevin Owens. So we come out, we get the match, very, very competitive back and forth. Kind of ended abruptly. You know, you get a little bit of a distraction outside the ring by Solo Sikoa. Matt Riddle enters back in the ring, doesn't realize that Jey Uso tagged in Jimmy Uso. So Jimmy attacks Riddle from behind. They hit their version of the 3D on Riddle. Match is over. Kevin Owens, you know, chasing Sami Zayn and the Usos to the back. Solo Sikoa is still at ringside, and so is Matt Riddle. So Solo Sikoa beats the shit out of Matt Riddle. So very interesting. And this goes back to what we talked about last week that no one else has as far as Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn. Basically, Solo Sikoa takes out Matt Riddle. not only, I'm going to show you part of it in a second, and this will lead to something from 20 years ago. Not only does Solo Sikoa put Riddle in the corner with a chair around his neck and, you know, just basically plows his ass, you know, little reminiscent of Umaga tonight a few times. Riddle is taken out on a stretcher, put in an ambulance, out of commission, maybe up until the Royal Rumble. So will this lead to a match between Solo and Riddle at the Royal Rumble? I don't think so, but I expect Matt Riddle to go right after Solo Sikoa in the Royal Rumble match, if that takes place. It's going to be really interesting to see if Solo Sikoa is in that Royal Rumble match, because common sense would tell you that, you know, the winner of the Royal Rumble match usually gets a WWE Championship match at WrestleMania. Solo Sikoa don't want that. So, you know, are they going to force him to be in that? I don't know about that. But, you know, Solo Sikoa tonight also paid tribute to Umaga and did the Samoan Spike. Anybody remember when Umaga used to do that? And I immediately had flashbacks of 20 years ago. And I'm sorry if this upsets anybody. But first of all, tonight, now we're in 2022. So tonight on Raw for 2022, we get the Samoan Spike.
Solo Sikoa style.
Okay.
Throne of Matt Riddle.
All right. We get that. Then we get Rhea Ripley staring down Becky Lynch. And I'm looking at this, and I'm watching it, and I'm thinking about Solo Sikoa with the Samoan Spike. And I'm thinking about these two women, and I'm saying to myself, oh, if this was 20 years ago, if it was 20 years ago, and Eric Bischoff was still the Raw general manager, anyone else thinking what I'm thinking? Especially 20 years ago, anybody remember, hold on, anybody remember this? Ah, rest in peace, Umaga. Anybody remember 20 years ago, guys and gals, we were witnessing HLA. 2022, we have Solo Sikoa doing a Samoan Spike, and we have Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch staring down. If that was 20 years ago under the Bischoff regime, you'd have probably 10,000 fans going, kiss, 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 kiss. And for anyone out there that doesn't remember that history, here, shout out to the first person in the chat room. What was the name of the tag team that 3-minute warning destroyed that I just showed you? What was the name of the tag team? I'll give a shout out to the first person who gets it right. The women you just saw get taken out from three. They weren't called HLA. No, they were not, Psycho. What was the name of the tag team? Does anybody remember? I will tell you this, that's funny. It's amazing to do a Google search to see how many people who write articles that are beyond offended from watching this. With all due respect, I could almost guarantee 20 years ago they were doing this, especially with the Stephanie thing. Devin M., shout out to you. N1 Fall. All right, you both wrote it pretty much at the same time. They were actually called on Raw the Lesbians. I kid you not, everyone. Yes, it is a dark time in WWE. Shit, some of you out there probably never even seen the HLA segment with Stephanie McMahon. You go back and you think about that segment. If you watch it, if you've never seen it before, ask yourself the question that I sent on my hotline back at that time, because I do remember, because I got a lot of shit for it. You know, I think Stephanie McMahon was really into it. Her playing this awkward, innocent girl, you go, you know, if you've never seen it, watch it and you'll see what I'm talking about. So it is kind of wild that if it was 20 years ago, you know what that crowd would have been chanting when we had that stare down tonight. You know, look into my eyes, tell me what you see. Not the cult of personality. All right, let's move on. Rest in peace, Umaga. Anniversary of his passing was yesterday. So, all right, as I said earlier, we had some poker tonight. I love the segments. We had two tables. That dealer, he's an indie wrestler. I can't put my finger on his name. If anyone out there remembers his name, please let me know. I know he's an indie wrestler. I've seen him wrestle before. I'm pretty sure he wrestled in the Northeast as well. But we had one table, you know, with him as a dealer. We had another table. There was a female dealer in the other table. I don't know who the redheaded girl was. I just saw her for a second. That's not fair. That's not fair. She saw her with Dominic stealing money from Tozawa. And the dealer's like, that's not fair. It was goofy. But, you know, we got the tables. And, you know, as we're watching this, here comes Dexter Lumis. Dexter Lumis, the fuck is wrong with you? We just had 3 months of a storyline that you were homeless, that you needed money badly. And he shows up and this motherfucker is an addicted gambler. You got a gambling problem, son. You just did a storyline for 3 months that you have no money, that you're going to be homeless. You're supposed to pay your bills with it. You're supposed to take your family out to dinner. He shows up. I want to play poker. JBL's like, no, you're not invited to this game. So Dexter Lumis is like, oh, yeah, what about that? What if I throw that on the table? And JBL is like, hey, welcome aboard. That's all right. Sit down. Well, what ends up happening is we get a few segments throughout the day. Corbin caught cheating, couple of aces up his sleeve, claims to have four kings. And, you know, he gets into it with the OC. We get a little comedy during one of the skits where Chad Gable is going, shoosh, and Luke Gallows is going, nerd, shoosh, nerd, shoosh, nerd, shoosh. And it got really annoying. You see where this is going. So now Baron Corbin is caught cheating, claiming to have four kings. And AJ Styles starts getting on his case. So Baron Corbin gets up. We get a little bit of a push back and forth with AJ Styles and Corbin, and JBL's pissed off. He's like, you barbarians, what are you doing? You're ruining my party. So you want to fight? Take it outside. So we set up a match, Baron Corbin and the Alpha Academy versus the OC, Luke Gallows, Karl Anderson, AJ Styles. And we get another match tonight because Dominic Mysterio is caught trying to steal some of Akira Tozawa's chips on the other table. I got really, really bad. I have praised the shit out of Dominic Mysterio, but he still can't talk. You know, when he's chicken shit Dominic Mysterio, it works. Here, he's like, this is my show. I could take whatever I want. And it was so scripted, and the way he said it, even when he said, you're almost as short as my deadbeat dad. So Tozawa and Dominic Mysterio have a match tonight as well. Dominic Mysterio beats Akira Tozawa, the shimmy shimmy frog splash off the top rope, pleases mama very, very fast. But the MVP of that whole segment was Damian Priest, and I'll show you why in a second. Getting back to the other match, the OC, JBL on commentary. JBL has been awesome since he's been back. He's on commentary, and he's watching Gallows and Anderson cheating in the ring, and Gallows hits the ring even though he's not the legal man, and they hit the magic killer and Chad Gable pin him, and you know, JBL's like, you know, what the hell was that? He's like, all this cheating, what was that? But it was funny because, you know, they're cheating and they win, and JBL is losing his shit. So those two matches we get as a result. But the funny thing was, when everybody left, you know, if you look at this picture, you know, Johnny Gargano and Dexter Lumis, they stay at the card table. Now, Dexter Lumis took out an axe a little bit earlier when Corbin was accusing him of cheating. And when Dexter Lumis took out the axe, he's like, no, he's legit. He's legit. No, he can stay. He's legit. So after everybody runs away, you know, Johnny Gargano tells the dealers, like, I guess we won. So Dexter Lumis grabs a stack of those fake $100 bills that you could buy on Amazon for about $5.99, everyone. You probably aren't aware of that. But yeah, those are all fake hundreds. Jade Cargill, when she had the money thing out there, fake hundreds. You expect them to use fake hundreds. It makes sense. You're not going to put real money out there like that. Unless you do what you did last week with The Miz and the storyline. You know, each stack of that money last week had a real $100 bill on the top of it. Everything else underneath was fake. So that's why when Dexter Lumis took out $100, every time he gave it to a kid, he had to look down. He had to make sure that he wasn't taking it from the same stack. You pick up the bill, there's nothing on the other side. That is a disaster to happen on television. So what ends up happening is, you know, there's Tamina in the background. Dexter Lumis throws a stack of hundreds to the dealer. He runs off. Tamina sees a little bit of a couple of hundreds on the side of the table. She grabs a couple for her pocket, and she storms off as well. So they were fun segments tonight. I don't know why, but they just clicked. And then, as I showed you earlier, Candice LeRae being interviewed, and when she sees how much money is in the bag, she's about to say, "Holy shit!" But Johnny Gargano puts his hand on, "Holy sh-." And Candice LeRae's like, "We got to go. We got to go spend the money." Why didn't you spend the money last week? And don't forget Nikki Cross lurking in the background. Lurking in the background. Okay, why did I say Damian Priest, to me, was the MVP of the whole shit with Dominic Mysterio and Akira Tozawa? After the match was over, the Judgment Day is about to destroy Akira Tozawa. The Street Profits make the save, and I don't know if you caught it. I saw it. I fucking laughed. It takes a lot for me to legitimately laugh out loud watching wrestling in 2022. But I legitimately laughed when the Street Profits ran in to make the save. Damian Priest just brushing them off like, "Fuck, you kidding me? Nah." Now, this was the best grab that I could get for you tonight. Just look at it closely. Just look at Damian Priest's reaction. He's like, "Nah, I don't think so." I'll show it to you one more time. Look on the right. "Nah." And then they put the camera on him a couple of times. And every time they put the camera on him, he's like, he just brushed it. It was so funny the way he did it. If you watch the whole segment, oh man, that is like ultimate disrespect. Unfortunately, the crowd didn't really pop much for the Street Profits. Let's be honest. They really didn't. Poor Street Profits. I kind of agree with you. All right. So we already covered almost all the matches tonight. Asuka, as I said earlier, was in a match with Bayley and Rhea Ripley. Basically, at one point, Asuka had the Asuka lock on Rhea Ripley. Bayley with an elbow off the top rope to break that up. Asuka there, before that, with a Asuka lock on Bayley. Rhea Ripley with a double dropkick to break that up. We get I don't know, I thought this was sloppy as hell. Rhea Ripley has Becky Lynch outside the ring. She sets up in position on the side of the ring by the fans. And she's going to run and do something to Becky Lynch. She runs and she decides to do like an Alexa Bliss acrobatic sunset flip outside the ring. I don't know what the fuck she was doing. But she dove, flipped upside down, no water in the pool. She is on her ass, writhing in pain. So now you realize, oh, fuck, Rhea Ripley's not winning this one. Because after that, Becky Lynch is in the ring with Asuka. They go back and forth for a very short period of time. Not Becky Lynch, Bayley. Bayley is going at it with Asuka in the ring, and Bayley hits the rose plant and gets the win. Now, a lot of people are pissed off at this point, like, oh, Rhea Ripley, she should have got the win. No, it's too early. It's too early. You know, we're going to have Rhea Ripley get a shot from Bianca down the line. And honestly, when Rhea Ripley does take on Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley should take that championship. Right now, you can't take the title off of Bianca Belair. So Bayley winning, if you watch the main event tonight, which was Becky Lynch versus Nikki Cross versus Alexa Bliss, now you see how this all comes together for next week. Because the main event tonight, we did have Alexa Bliss winning. What happened was, this was kind of clunky at times, the match. The crowd didn't seem to be into it as much as you would think. And I think the crowd was just waiting for the last 5 minutes to 11 to see things pick up. And you hear a little commotion. You see the fans looking somewhere, and then you realize, okay, here comes Io Sky and Dakota Kai. They show up, and they start attacking Becky Lynch. Now, earlier, Becky Lynch jaw-jacked with Bayley. And they had a fun back and forth. You know, Becky Lynch bringing up some valid points. You know, during the Thunderdome era, you know, Bayley carried the women's division. When Bianca, when Becky was out, Bayley was in. When Bayley was out, Becky came back. And they haven't had a one-on-one match in 3 years. And yeah, that's about right. So, you know, they set up, you know, that tension between the two. So Bayley brings out Io Sky and Dakota Kai later on to take out Becky Lynch. They put her through a table, ass first, if you saw it. And that was at the end of the match. And then you realize, oh, okay, here's the continued seed planting for Alexa Bliss. Alexa hits Twisted Bliss on Nikki Cross, gets the 1-2-3. Next week it is Bayley versus Alexa Bliss with the winner taking on Bianca Belair. Now, Bianca Belair cut a promo earlier in the night, and it was interesting if you paid close attention. First of all, you know, what she said about Nikki Cross was fine. Nikki Cross is unpredictable. She's a wild card. Okay. When she talked about Alexa Bliss, she said that Alexa Bliss, you know, she's shown recently, you know, why she was not only a champion, but ran the women's division. I don't remember Alexa Bliss ever running the women's division. But, you know, that was Bianca being nice. But then Bianca, when she was talking about Becky Lynch, she said that Becky Lynch has challenged her like no other, like a biggest challenger. And I'm thinking, you know, I think we all agree probably Sasha Banks takes that spot. But, you know, she's cutting a promo, doing what she's doing. But next week, you say to yourself, okay, how is Alexa Bliss going to beat Becky Lynch tonight? Is anybody in their right mind? How would you have felt if Alexa Bliss pinned Becky Lynch? Anyway, you know, even if it was a fruit roll-up, I think the IWC would be outraged. So you had to have Sky and Kai show up, take out Becky Lynch. So next week when Alexa takes on Bayley, it only makes sense Becky Lynch returns the favor. She's going to cost Bayley the match, and we'll probably have Bayley versus Becky Lynch at the Royal Rumble, and no titles are on the line. So this is how you get Alexa Bliss versus Bianca Belair with legitimate main eventers in the women's division losing. You know, you figure it out. That was the only way they can have Becky Lynch lose. You know, some outside interference, and because it's a three-way dance, there is no disqualification. They're allowed to do it. No DQ. So that's what we have next week. Now, a couple other things. Next week, we have a number one contenders match with Bobby Lashley and Seth Rollins. They cut back and forth promos earlier in the night. Seth Rollins keeping the Brock Lesnar aspect alive. Do they keep it alive all the way to WrestleMania? It is possible. It is possible. I definitely see Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar getting into it at the Royal Rumble. I'm just hoping that it's in the Royal Rumble match itself. I got to see Gunther and Brock go at it for 30 seconds. Let me see one Gunther chop. You'll hear me say that multiple times between now and the Royal Rumble. But Seth Rollins keeps rubbing salt in the wound to Bobby Lashley about his loss to Brock Lesnar. You know, it's 1-1 right now. Bobby Lashley has a win, and he's got a loss. It's not the end of the world, but the way Seth is rubbing it in, it's pissing off Bobby Lashley. So they get physical tonight. All the producers come out, and Bobby Lashley inadvertently spears Petey Williams, as WWE calls him, Pete Williams. He's not Petey anymore, everyone. So at the end of the night, you see Adam Pearce telling Bobby Lashley, look, I know you didn't do it on purpose, you know, but don't screw up again. I'm not going to take away your number one contender spot and everything, but don't do that again. Now, while that's all going down, earlier, Austin Theory is in the back cutting a promo. And Austin Theory says, you know, his reaction to those two guys, they're the past. They're just looking for scraps. I'm the present. I'm the champion. He gets interrupted by Mustafa Ali. Mustafa Ali wants a shot tonight. So Austin Theory obliges. We're going to get Mustafa Ali versus Austin Theory for the United States Championship. Austin Theory tells Ali, after I beat you, you know, basically, I don't want to see you again. So we have the match. Dolph Ziggler shows up. Dolph Ziggler causes the DQ, attacks Austin Theory. And after the match was over, Ali is pissed off at Dolph Ziggler. What did you just do? He's like, I did that for all of us, you know, but Dolph Ziggler cost him the match. Before Ali could get physical with Dolph Ziggler, here's Austin Theory. Austin Theory lays out Dolph Ziggler. And let me tell you something. If Dolph Ziggler did not get injured tonight, he sold probably the best I have seen anybody sell for Austin Theory so far. He went into the ring post, and even Corey Graves said, I think that's the hardest I've ever seen someone go in a ring post. He went into the ring post at full speed. Then after that, Austin Theory hits the A-town onto Ziggler, and both shots, they look like that shit hurt. So I hope Dolph Ziggler's okay, and if he is, that guy sold like an ace, and Theory was getting major heel heat tonight from the fans. I'm telling you, then Austin Theory and Dominic Mysterio are never going to be on the level, in my opinion, of John Cena and Randy Orton. It's you can't even compare it that way. But those two guys, you could feel the fans really, it's not go-away heat. They want to see those two guys get the shit knocked out of them. I'm telling you, Dominic Mysterio and Austin Theory are on the path for greatness. Not main eventing, but greatness. So, and Ziggler, you know, maybe we'll end up with a three-way match with Mustafa Ali versus Austin Theory versus Dolph Ziggler. Would not be surprised if that happens. So, I think that was it as far as matches tonight. Wow, we ran through the show pretty quickly. All right. Tomorrow on NXT, the main focus are the two three-way dances to determine who gets the last spot in the Iron Survivor Challenge. One match is Fallon Henley versus Wendy Chu versus Indy Hartwell. Now, for those that are curious, tonight, we did have two NXT stars fight on main event. I'll give you those results in a second. But first, the NXT preview, like I said, Chu versus Henley versus Indy Hartwell for that last spot in the Iron Survivor Challenge. And I think Indy Hartwell is going to get that one. And on the men's side, we have Von Wagner versus Axiom versus Andre Chase. I want Von Wagner to take it. Von Wagner's growing on me. I know that pisses off some people out there, but he's growing on me. Tonight on main event, Trick Williams defeated Cedric Alexander and Katana Chance, and I believe she had Caden Carter in her corner, she defeated Tamina. So the continued rub of NXT stars getting a showcase on main event continues. Tonight it's Katana Chance. And you know what's funny? I didn't have time to pull a clip, but I know someone already DM'd me tonight. Somebody said to me, hey, DT, didn't you just say last week that, you know, as much as Katana Chance and Kayda Carter have improved, we haven't seen them on main event, and boom, Katana Chance is on main event. So I don't know, maybe it was just coincidence, but all right. Dynamite for Wednesday, and then we got to talk for a brief moment about Rampage. Big deal. Definitely a big deal. Wednesday for Dynamite, we have more participants announced for the Diamond Battle Royal. Samoa Joe's going to defend the TNT Championship against Darby Allin. The Acclaimed are going to take on FTR for the AEW Tag Team titles. I can't wait to see how this clusterfuck takes place. I expect the Gun Club to show up. People think that Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal are going to get involved. Whatever the case is, it just feels impossible that the FTR are going to get those tag titles Wednesday. So we're just waiting to see how the clusterfuck is going to go down. And then we got Jake Hager and Daniel Garcia against Claudio and Willie Uta. John Moxley will talk. Jamie Hayter will talk. MJF will talk. Jade Cargill and the Baddies versus Madison Rayne, Sky Blue, and Kiera Hogan. That's interesting because I thought Bow Wow. I can't fucking believe I'm talking about Bow Wow in pro wrestling. Oh, do I have to? Nah. Like Damian Priest tonight. This is Damian Priest is me and Street Profits are Bow Wow. Nah. No way. No fucking way. All right. One more shot before. You know, I never looked into if they were indie wrestlers or not. I never bothered to check at that time. I wonder if they were indie wrestlers. You know, they got the shit knocked out of them from 3 minute warning. You know, I don't know if they got legitimately hurt in any way, but, you know, that was interesting at that time. The Stephanie stuff is wild. If you've never seen that HLA segment. Now, look, it's not like rated 18 years old. You know, there's no nudity or anything like that, but I think it might make a few people feel a little uncomfortable. So 20 years ago, almost 20 years to the day, believe it or not. Almost 20 years to the day. All right. Before we talk about Rampage, I want to just give a couple of Super Chat shout-outs, if you allow me. Ronnie C., not wrestling related, but since Kirstie Alley died today, not Kirstie Alley, Kirstie Alley, you have to choose one, DT, Diane Chambers or Rebecca Howe. I am a brunette type of guy. I always was a brunette. For some reason, I don't know, I never liked Rebecca Howe in Cheers. I never liked Diane Chambers either. Like, neither one were my type. I mean, you know, I showed you earlier with, you know, like, that's around the same time when you think about it. Like, I'm sorry, Diane Chambers and Rebecca Howe, neither one of them looked like these two women, and they're blondes, you know? So I never liked either one. If you're going to force me to choose one, Diane Chambers. I never liked either one. I don't know why. You know, I know this is a wrestling show, but Kirstie Alley died today. I think she was like 71. Passed away from cancer. And, you know, I remember Look Who's Talking, and I remember Cheers, and I remember some of her appearances. I had no idea that when she appeared in Star Trek, The Wrath of Khan, remember Star Trek? Khan! That was her movie debut. I never knew that. When I saw her at that time, like, she was great and everything, but I never in a million years ever knew that that was her debut in the film industry. So that was pretty wild, man. Yeah, It Takes Two. Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, she had a very interesting career. I definitely probably bought a couple of diet foods back in the day. I don't remember which one she did. Did she do Nutrisystem? I can't remember. No, I think it was Jenny Craig. But she definitely inspired me to buy food because, you know, I kind of felt like the male version of Kirstie Alley. Remember when she was really heavy? I think it was Jenny Craig, but maybe it wasn't. Summer School. Summer School's another one. Didn't she appear on Night Court once or twice? But rest in peace, Kirstie Alley. Rest in peace, Kirstie Alley. Speaking of rest in peace, Jimmy Fingers with the 1019. I love it. Rest in peace to the farmer's daughter, DT. I knew we were the same age by the references that I make. Love hearing the glow talk. Lady Godiva was his number one to look at, but he feared Mount Fuji. Matilda the Hun, that's who I was thinking about before. Jackie Stallone was very interesting. A lot of people have no idea about Jackie Stallone and her involvement with Glow. You know who we got? We got to have... Not today, but maybe on next Sunday. I got to bring up the women of wrestling from the 2000s because I still have all their theme songs. You know, if anybody remembers when I did Tombstone Radio, I actually, about maybe 2 months ago, I was going through my old hard drive and I found all the women of wrestling themes from the 2000s. Remember Patti Pep? P-A-T-T-I, Patti Pep? Patti Pep? Why did I do that? It's late, everyone. I had to do it so people would believe me you know. And she had a tag partner. Guys, gals, who was Patty Pep's tag partner? It was some ATY, some. Anybody remember Patty Pep's tag partner? If you mention it, I give you a shout out and I'll do her also. I know that doesn't sound right. I'm going to do her also. Thank you, Jimmy Fingers. Thank you. You know, hey, look, deaths suck, but it's going to happen to all of us. So if we could smile and remember some good, happy times, I think people probably would appreciate that. Listen, when it's time for me to go, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if anybody's going to do a podcast. I'm sure people are going to throw shit on YouTube with my name on it just to try to get views, whatever. You know, but I want people to laugh. I don't want nobody sobbing. I want people to be like, that motherfucker, that cocksucker, he's looking down right now and he's taking a shit. Seriously, I want everybody to laugh. Seriously. Nobody remembers Patty Pep's tag partner. Not even a Google search, people. Jimmy Fingers with a 2019 spot, which, well, that makes it 30-38. Prayers to Barry. Just took a quadruple bypass himself 3 years ago at the age 48. Jesus. He was lucky to have caught it before the heart attack came. Scariest time of his life. He cringed when he hears about it with other people. Listen, you know, it's if anybody goes back to January, February of last year, when I was talking about my dad. Anybody remember the picture when he was in the car when I brought him home from the hospital? You know, and Triple H, what happened to my dad is the same thing that happened to Triple H. And people didn't understand, and this is where the Barry Windham reference comes in. People didn't understand the Widowmaker. You know, that is a gimmick that Barry Windham had. I'm telling you, I'm not predicting what kind of heart issue, what bypass, triple, quadruple. I don't know what's going on with Barry Windham. I guarantee you, between now and the next couple of days, if Barry survives this and he has to undergo surgery, I will guarantee you, you will see a trillion pun references saying, holy shit, how ironic is it that Barry Windham almost met the Widowmaker? That's not even funny. That is legit. People don't understand what the Widowmaker is with a heart attack. And when my dad got rushed to the hospital, my dad, you know how it happened? My dad had a stress test. My dad went for a stress test and he started getting very lightheaded. And my dad's triple degree black belt. You know, he's, if you see pictures of him, you know, he's in shape and he's got lightheaded and they put him on the floor. And, you know, they gave him something to, like, you know, just wake him up a little bit. But the doctor said to him, they said, you know, you got to go right to the hospital. And he said, could I go home first, this and that? And the doctor was like, you got to go to the hospital tonight. We took him to the St. Francis Hospital, and it saved his life. They told him that if he did not have that stress test, within 1 to 3 months, he would have got the Widowmaker, and it would have been all over. It's fucking wild. We just buried my Uncle Santo 2 weeks ago, my other father's brother, my father's first brother that he lost, my Uncle Joe that I always talk about on the shows. Remember I told you about my Uncle Joe that used to convince me that wrestling was fake in the early 80s? My Uncle Joe was supposed to go for a stress test about 12, 13 years ago, and he lived in Florida, and he postponed it. He told the doctor, I'll go next week. He died. Died. So anything with heart stuff, when Jimmy says he hears other people and, you know, you really feel it, it hits home, man. That shit's very serious. When you hear ICU, you know, that's not like a ripoff of a tag team that wrestles in AEW. ICU! No, that is scary shit, man. So believe me, when we say keep your prayers for Barry Windham, you know, trust me, whatever he's going through right now, he's fighting for his life, for real. And that's not even trying to be dramatic about it. So, thank you, Jimmy Fingers. Off the record, Patty Pep's tag partner was not Lana Starr. Trust me, Lana Starr was definitely not. You know what? He might be right. But there was another wrestler in WOW that had almost the identical theme to Patty Pep. You know, now you're going to force me to get the theme for next Monday. Next, I won't get copyright. Trust me, there's nobody that owns the copyrights to it. I don't know why, but next Monday, I'll play you a few seconds of Patty Pep's theme, and I'll play you a few seconds of the other one. So, all right. We got one last thing to talk about tonight, and that is history. Ratings for SmackDown and Rampage. And believe me when I tell you, I don't find this funny. I find it fucked up. And the excuse that I have seen, and it was weird because yesterday on the sit-down, Crazy Cruiserweight sent in a super chat talking about ratings and the excuses that people make. And I think Tony Khan does bear responsibility for it because every time the ratings go over a certain number, he boasts about it. And you should have pride. But when it doesn't hit a certain number, people always make excuses that like something is wrong. And there's always an excuse, an asterisk next to it. Now, as far as SmackDown goes, they were on FS1. So obviously, whenever they're on FS1, you know, the ratings are not very good. So they did 902,000 viewers, much more than what they did earlier this year when they were on FS1. But they did 902. Okay, fine. Rampage on Friday. No Thanksgiving week, no mass shooting, no hurricanes, no tornadoes, no debates, no deaths. Doesn't that sound like last night? Rampage this past Friday. You had Darby Allin wrestling. You had Orange Cassidy wrestling. And we talked about it over the weekend. You know, I understand how important QT Marshall is for AEW. That motherfucker is very important behind the camera. Believe me when I tell you, I'm not even saying that to be funny. The guy is so important behind the scenes. So they reward him main eventing Rampage. Plus, you had Saraya, the former Paige, advertised to appear. You have the Acclaimed advertised to appear. Now, even if they were all wrestling jobbers, you know, or whatever, you have names appearing that are substantial. They made history on Friday. Rampage scored the lowest rating in their history. Didn't happen on a Saturday afternoon. Didn't happen on a Friday afternoon. They did 361,000 viewers. 361. Plus, and I don't give a shit about demos. You know what I always say. You know, give me a million people. I'd rather have a million people and let a lot of them be old and let a lot of them be kids than give me 500,000 and say, yeah, the demo was incredible. I'd rather have a million people buying my shit or a million people. I'd rather have a million people tune into my stuff where I'm offering something to buy than have 500,000 and say, well, most of them are 18 to 34. As I brought up yesterday, when you see baseball stadiums, when baseball stadiums only get 3,000 people in attendance and the place seats 35,000, have you ever heard a baseball writer or a baseball announcer or a manager or a GM of a baseball team say, well, if you look at the crowd, they were mostly 18 to 34. You know, we can't obviously document each one, but everybody was, you know, 18 to 49. No, they're like, we only had 3,000 people. Only in pro wrestling you see this awful shit. The only people that should care about demos is the networks, the commerce, the advertisers, and the promotions, not us. 361,000 viewers, everyone. That is the lowest in history. But if you want to follow demos, their demos are down to 0.08. I know some people tried to bite off of my aces and 0.8s. No, that's not aces and 0.8s. That is 0.08s. That is awful. And you know what I saw today on social media? Not every single person, but enough people saying it. You know how you fix this problem? Why don't they put Rampage before SmackDown? That's the answer for a lot of people, and it's scary because some of these people have blue check marks, not because they pay $8 a month. Some of these people have podcasts that have 10 times the number of people that tune into my shit overall. And these people think by putting it on at 7 o'clock that that solves the problem. The show fucking sucks. It has no direction. It's pushing Ring of Honor shit that nobody is clamoring for. You have people rewarding themselves for all the hard work behind the scenes. Hey, cool, EVPs are back. Great job. Thank you for running the ship. You main event against Orange Cassidy Friday night. You know, the show is fucking awful. And as I said yesterday, and we did not know the Rampage rating yesterday, but I will say this again now. On the Monday Night Wars, that documentary series that WWE did several years ago, I will never forget. I don't remember the exact words, but I will never forget what Chris Jericho said. Chris Jericho said, when you lose your fans, it is you could have Hulk Hogan on, Bruno Sammartino on, Ric Flair, you could have anybody you want, and you'll never get them back. Or it is almost impossible or extremely difficult to get them back. Darby Allin was wrestling. I guarantee you a lot of people thought that Sting was going to come out and be out there. And it scored 361,000 viewers. If the show was doing great and people like, man, Tony, the fucking show is off the hook. Everything is top notch. You know, you put it in a better time slot. It's better for all of us. This is a shit show. And it's been like this for a long time. These ratings have been going down and down and down and down and down. And it's not just because CM Punk is gone. Because CM Punk very rarely appeared on Rampage. You know, maybe sometimes guest commentary or something like that. But the show is awful. Putting the show in prime time is not the answer. If you have a house that is totally fucked up in shambles, you don't turn around and say, well, let's put a coat of paint on it. You know, it'll look better. You know, the show is awful. And that's why the show is doing the ratings it does. Because when it was doing 600,000 and 700,000 viewers, nobody ever said, oh, well, you know, we should put it on a different night. People thought, wow, you know, maybe you put on a different night to get even more people to tune in. You want to build on that. This is putting it in a different time slot doesn't change what the fuck we're watching. So I just thought that was amazing because, yeah, a different time slot is a great idea when something is really fucking good and it's not getting the viewers it should. But this is a god-awful show. I mean, to be honest with you, I know we do watch parties on Fridays, but you know, I got to do a show Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. I'm up from 6 o'clock in the morning, 6:30 in the morning on a Friday morning going to work. And it's like, I don't want to be bothered watching Rampage from 10 to 11 and have to cover it the next day. So I choose not to. Like, I'll read results and I'll see little things that catch my eye and I'll watch it. But this is an awful fucking show. And putting it on a different time slot right now doesn't change the fact it is an awful fucking show. When a show sucks, when you see bad acting, you don't say, well, you know, the ratings are down, the acting is horrible, let's put it in prime time. You know, that's like, hey, I went on the scale today, and I'm 6 pounds heavier than I was when I got married. Truth. No bullshit. Definitely true. I know why, and I'm taking care of it, but, you know, if I have a manual scale, you know how I fix that problem? I just take the scale and I move the dial back to like 5 pounds before the zero. And then I go on like, hey, I only gained a pound. You know, you could manipulate and twist it. Doesn't take away the fact that, you know, that the numbers suck. So, all right, guys, I'm out of here. We are exactly at the time. And as you can hear my voice, by the way, for anybody that, you know, maybe tuned out early yesterday. Right after the sit-down was over, I got a little too cute over here. I had my chicken tempura. I put a piece on my mouth. I put it on the video to look like a stupid slob. And the fork was in the dish. And as soon as I took the mouse to switch the video off, I dropped the fork on the floor. So I was pissed off. A lot of people thought I dropped my whole food, but when I played it back, I laughed because you could hear it. I dropped the fork on the floor. So I ate the rest of it with my fingers. And yes, a few people actually chastised me on email today and said, hey, DT, you're touching keyboard, you're touching mouse, you're touching, you know, your body parts while you're doing the show. You know, there's a couple of times I scratch my balls and nobody's watching while I'm doing the show. And now I'm eating chicken tempura with my fingers while we're doing it. I don't even have wipes. You know, I don't even have wipes. So, yeah, that's what happened yesterday. You know what the lesson learned is? No matter how hungry I am, I do not bring food in this room. I'll bring beverage, but I won't bring food. So, last call for anybody that wants to send in a question for Thursday's Q&A. Go to the community section on YouTube. That goes for everybody tuning in, audio, video, or anywhere else. I have it there. Because everybody can access it there. Whether you're a subscriber or you're not, you could access it and post a question. You could always email me to dontony@dontony.com. Either way, whichever you prefer. Wednesday afternoon, I'm going to be doing the show. So if you want to get a question in, that's fine. If you want to get a super chat in, you know, you could do that too. Because I see that Jimmy Fingers just sent another 1019. I wonder where you get that 1019 from. Do not send another 1019 telling me how you get the 1019, but that's cool, man. He had high hopes for AEW, and it had potential, but it never reached the level of entertainment that TNA had from 2006 to 2010. Vince Russo could still write better than Tony Khan. This is what people need to understand. You have to understand this too. And, you know, I'm gonna let everybody know. I don't know if Vince Russo will be podcast Forbidden Door 4. Everyone's gonna vote, but if he's not, I'm gonna go out of my way and ask him to come on anyway. And I know he will because he once before said he would love to come on, and we will have this conversation. But you know, one thing I will say, you know, I've always defended Vince Russo going back to the 90s. I've always been on board with Vince Russo. I will be the first to admit Vince Russo has wrote a lot of shit that sucked. Yes, he would come up with a bunch of ideas, and some of them would be horrendous. But some of them were pretty good. You know, if you're going to call out the most horrendous stuff, like Jim Cornette, obviously there's deep hatred there. I get it. And Jim Cornette has every right to criticize. But there are people, Hall of Famers, you know, that transition this business that will praise the guy. But the thing you have to understand is Vince Russo did not have a financial stake in TNA. Vince Russo was working for someone else. When it comes to Tony Khan, you know, this is Tony Khan's baby. This is his fantasy come to life. You know, you ever see that? What was the name of that movie, the baseball movie, where the little kid gets inherited the team, the grandfather croaks, and he leaves the team for the kid, and we're actually going to the movies and paying money to actually think that some teenager is able to manage a team? Are you fucking kidding me? It was like so unreal. Little Big League. Thank you, Mark Ness, Roderick. Little Big League. I hated that movie when it came out because I was like, there's no way that a teenager. But the point is this. You know, if you got the money, especially extra money, and you're talking billions here, you know, think of Little Big League. He didn't get that much money left to him, but Tony Khan, the guy is worth billions and billions and billions. He could lose $100. Think about the money WCW lost in 2000, 1999, 2000. Obviously, we have to adjust for inflation, so it would be a lot more today compared to then. But even if Tony Khan... This is the most important point that I could ever make about this. Even if Tony Khan lost every year the same amount of money that WCW was losing, the guy is involved with the Jaguars. The guy's involved with soccer. The guy's involved with outside projects. You have revenue coming in from other areas. So if he lost $100 million, $150 million, If he lost $150 million a year for 10 years or even 20 years, that still would only be $3 billion. I know that is a crazy amount of money. But when you're a 40-year-old single guy with no wife or husband or no kids and no, you know, ties that way. And you have this kind of coin. You know, you, if I was Tony Khan, I'm dead serious when I say this. And I think 99.9% of you out there would agree with what I'm saying, even if you wouldn't admit it. If you had the money Tony Khan did, you would want to spend it and enjoy it while you're alive. If you had kids, if you had a husband or a wife, obviously you want to set them for life. Hey, he might have nieces and nephews that he has set for life for them. You know, he doesn't not required to just have a son or a daughter. But, you know, me, if I got $8-10 billion, you best damn believe I want to enjoy that motherfucking shit. I want to watch. I want to, if I lose it all, if I die tomorrow, you know, if there's only $1 billion in the bank, oh, there's only $1 billion in the bank. That's $1 billion still. The guy could lose hundreds of millions of dollars. And I guarantee you, nobody in AEW would admit it right now, but I remember this before we go off the air. Remember this, everyone. I will bet you anything you want to bet, and I'm dead serious when I say this. I bet you. Now, unfortunately, I can't really do it in here because I don't have any cigarette lighters around. I don't vape. I don't smoke. But if I had a lighter here right now, I'd do it. I guarantee you somewhere, Tony Khan has been in front of people that work in AEW, whether it's a barbecue, a party, hanging out on the beach, hanging out on somebody's boat. I guarantee you someone down the line is going to say, yeah, I remember this time Tony Khan was in the boat and he took out this like stack of $100 bills and the motherfucker like rolled it and put some marijuana in it and fucking lit up and fucking rolled a joint with $100 bills. I guarantee you, when you got money like that, you know, that's like a dollar for us. Sure, I wouldn't even tear up a dollar, but I guarantee you, you will get people down the line that are going to say, yeah, that guy's got so much money. I remember one time he fucking had to take a shit and there was no toilet paper and he fucking whipped out a bunch of hundreds and he started wiping his ass with the hundreds. And he says, anybody want the hundreds? I'm telling you, if I had Tony Khan's money, seriously, and I was drunk or high with a bunch of my friends, even if I had toilet paper, I'd probably hide the toilet paper and I would say, here's $1,000. It's got my shit all over it. Who wants the $1,000? It's like the little kid with the basketball with Ted DiBiase. You want the money so much? Kid, bounce the ball, motherfucker. I guarantee you Tony Khan at some point has showed off the fact that he's got that kind of money. And then people say to me, oh, Chris Jericho's a cancer in the locker room. Shit, if you were Chris Jericho or anyone else, you know, you want that position of power. You want to, oh, you crazy? And I'll leave everybody with this. Jimmy Fingers closes it out with the 5-spot. Thank you again, Jimmy. DT, the 19 is just his gimmick. He really wishes Tony Khan would take that money and get the Briscoes on national TV. You want to know, so I think the Briscoes will be on TV. I think in 2023, the Briscoes will be on TV. I know I just rhymed, but something's going to give. I think there's too many people that bring up Mike Tyson and bring up others and say, look at what some of these other people have done, especially some of these hip-hop artists that they've had on. You know, not all of them have had the storied, you know, altar boy career. Some of them had some, you know, criminal issues. And you turn around and you treat the Briscoes, you know, like they have. So, you know, I think the Briscoes will be on TV in 2023. We'll definitely revisit that down the line. But all right, everybody. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, everybody. If you enjoyed tonight's show, smash that thumbs up. Like, share, subscribe if you haven't done so already. Ice mocha, lot of weed. Ice mocha, lot of weed. How does the moon cut his hair? Oh, God. We'll go off the air with this. All right. You know what? I got to put the sound effect in my mixer tomorrow. You know that sound effect with the drum? I got to put that in there. Hey, everyone. How does the moon cut his hair? He eclipses it. Oh, look at that. I pressed the wrong fucking button. Oh, it's one of those nights. What is this? This looks like the ending of Star Trek. What the fuck is that? That's like the ending of Superman. Those are my patrons. Some of you motherfuckers have left me. I know. I'm not stupid. Isn't that the beginning of like Superman 1? That looks at it. All right, load.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking.
It's still slow.
We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're going to like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're going to get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.